It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Congratulations, you made it to Friday, and it's a football Friday. Good morning, 97.1, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, Greg behind the glass. Gang's all here.
Oh, man. Thank goodness we made it to Friday. Congratulations, you made it to Friday. Congratulations, you made it to week one.
Let's go.
Here we go. And Greg pointed out this morning, and it didn't take great observation skills that my vernacular, the language I was using, was much different this morning.
Not safe for air.
Not safe for air. No, no. And I am a little concerned this morning as we talk about the college football season. And yes, I am excited about Michigan. I'm excited about the Big Ten. I'm just excited that college football season is here. And on the, you know, once we get done with this great week one in college football, which will end Monday night with hopefully another demise of Florida State. But we only have a couple of days, and then it's the NFL kickoff on Thursday night. We have about a 10-day stretch here where it is just epic football watching, and we have been starved for meaningful football, starved to get the Lions season kicked off. College football, Jonathan Smith, new era in East Lansing, in Ann Arbor. This is an opportunity for us to grasp all that is good and right in the world for football season to begin.
We've waited so long.
And no F-bombs!
And it's finally here. John, let it fly, but be very careful. You have the drop button there, and, yes. And Greg is ready behind the scenes as well. We are back, and the picks are back at 6:35. Oh. Heather going to be part of the picks this fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
LFG.
Yes.
I saw her studying Bill Connolly's college football notes. She's ready to go.
Very in depth. You just wait.
Last night we had some games. And we'll get to the Tigers in a second, guys. But last night we had real football.
Oh, man. And I know, all right, you called it as well. Colorado, North Dakota State.
Pat myself on the back. Good teams win. Great teams cover. The Bison did it.
Yep.
Stayed within 10.
Didn't win, but it was drama filled.
It's a good watch.
Plenty of drama, Phil. And Travis Hunter came through.
He's unbelievable.
He's so much fun to watch. And you get a chance to watch him on both sides of the ball.
He never leaves the field.
It's Iron Man football. I wish we saw more of it, but it is a unique opportunity for him, for what he's doing. And I heard this morning that he is the number 3 rated defensive back in the upcoming draft, as of now, which will fluctuate. He's also the number 3 rated wide receiver.
So it's
in the upcoming draft. Will we see both ways in the NFL? That would be, I mean, I don't even know the last time that happened, like on a regular basis.
So it's two questions. One, can he do both at the NFL level?
Right.
And if he can't, which side does he pick? Because I think there are people who think he's a better corner than receiver, but receivers get paid more. And it's hard to argue he can't get it done at receiver if you watch him.
Yeah.
Because I mean, how many touchdowns did he have yesterday?
3.
First one was 41 yards.
How about Cam
off to the races?
Yeah. How about Cam Rising? 5 touchdowns?
Welcome back. Now they played like Southern Utah.
Yeah. Okay, fine. How did Central versus Central go?
Central won.
Central won.
No, they ran up a big number. Put up like 66 points.
Which Central? You're talking about your Central,
yeah,
right?
My Central Michigan Chippewas.
All right. Where's the drop? I thought we would get that when I brought fire up chips.
Come on.
Man, I'll tell you what. You this is
slipping.
This is week one. You'll get there.
It's all right. We put up like 66 points. We got this Iowa transfer quarterback, Labus. Looks like we actually got a guy who can throw the ball down the field a little bit.
Okay.
So we'll take it.
There you go.
Central off to a hot start. Where are you at with Deion? Because I know a lot of people watch for Deion, either for or against Deion. Where you know Deion.
I do. And as a teammate, as a friend, I want him to be successful. Love Deion. I'm a little bit tired of all of the drama. And we talk about pomp and circumstance in a positive way with college football. But all of the drama that has gone on in Boulder, it's exhausting. And I just don't think, you know, they hit the transfer portal year one. Okay, it was a bad team. Mm-hmm. They hired Deion. They come in. They get a couple of wins. Everybody's fired up. And then, you know, we hear about the, which I don't believe in total, all of the rumors. When guys leave a program, yeah, there's a propensity to throw shade at the former. Why did you leave? Nobody ever wants to say, well, I just, you know, this
wasn't
didn't work
enough.
Out.
Yeah.
Or just didn't work out. Yeah. Like, you don't have to say it didn't work out or you know, it whatever. I'm not going to buy into all of that because I know Deion, but there's a lot of smoke.
There's a ton of smoke, and it's the certain people can't ask him questions. He won't answer certain outlets' questions.
That's where it becomes too much.
And it's like, what do you think? You're the emperor here? You won four games last year.
Yeah. There's a writer in Denver that is not allowed to ask questions anymore because he was critical or he uses sarcasm when he writes about the, like
he's a columnist. They right. all I mean come on.
That's his job description.
Right. And I think he wouldn't answer a question from a guy who worked at CBS even though he had no issue with the writer himself, separate writer right. than the one you're talking about from the Denver paper. You won four games last year. And I don't know that they're making a bowl game this year, John. I mean, I know they won yesterday. Were you at all encouraged by that? I mean, they were undisciplined. They're taking bad penalties. The defense still doesn't look very good. Shador can make stuff happen, but the problem is he has to make stuff happen because he doesn't have the protection.
Right.
That's not going to work for 11 more games this season.
You wouldn't think so.
Like I'm happy they won so I can bet them, so I can bet against them next time because people will still be all over them because they won. They got to go to Nebraska next week. Can't yes. wait. Cornhuskers, early pick. I don't even know what the line is. John, I'm not a believer in what they're doing in Boulder. And I wanted it to work because he's different, because he can be fun, yeah. but it hasn't been fun. It's been this weird antagonistic thing. And I think that's what happens when you lose. I think he expected to come in and win like he did at the last stop. Well, it's a little different here. It's a little tougher here.
It is. And you're actually going to have to build something. I just don't know that he's there to build something.
Yeah, that's a concern too.
If the Sanders boys are no longer there, will he be there? That's the question, because we've always heard, especially with Shador, like, I'm going to go wherever he goes.
What do you think of Shador? First round pick, right?
Probably.
He hesitated a little bit. Okay.
Probably.
But it's safe to say then you don't see him as like number one, two, or three on boards at this point.
Not at this time. Okay. No. Yeah. I don't. I do think he's very talented. I just don't think he is one, two, or three. And this is a tough year, obviously, to be coming out as a quarterback. There were six of them taken in the first 12 picks last year. How many are going to, you know, re-enter the market? There's always going to be a market for quarterbacks at the top of the draft, but there are some really good ones that will be coming out as well. Quinn Ewers, I think he's going to be, as much as I have somewhat dogged him, and it's backed up by facts in terms of his consistency, I think this year he is set up to have a monster year.
Carson Beck the same way.
Carson Beck,
more so. Yeah. So this is going to be to go top one, two, or three, first of all, you have to have a team at the top that needs a quarterback. Tends to work that way, but not always.
Yeah.
And then you have to be the best of those quarterbacks. And the thing, there was a play I saw Shador make yesterday where he's buying time and he's rolling left, right-handed quarterback. And he has to stop, plant his feet. He gets drilled and he still delivered a bullet yeah. down the field. Like, okay, I get it.
He's
got to do
talent.
It more often,
no
but
question.
The talent is there for him.
But there's a lot of people that are rooting against Deion.
Yes.
And I get why. I'm not going to enter that camp. And that's probably more just because of the friendship. But I'm just going to let whatever happens, happens. And it's kind of like watching a train wreck. Like, you can't look away.
I think that's a huge part of the appeal. I think they were interesting and different last year. And now there is like a little bit of that gawking, like train wreck,
yeah.
car crash feeling. Because here's the deal. Deion is a talker. You know this.
Oh, yeah.
And when he was a player, he could back it up. When you're a coach, you're a step removed. You can't go make the plays for the guys. And he oozes confidence. The problem is when it doesn't work out, when you win four games the first year, maybe you only win four or five this season. I mean, their win totals, I think, right around that. What happens? You've been bragging about how you already had, you brought your own luggage and it's Louis. Yeah. I'm waiting for the Louis Vuitton luggage.
Well,
I get it. Your kids, at least Shador's good, but you got to have a roster.
So a coach is once removed. The general manager that oozes confidence is twice removed.
Right.
What's that make you think? We're going to get a chance to talk about
Brad
that
Holmes?
General manager.
Well, you got to back it
and
up.
His confidence in his team and his, he's held on to receipts and let everybody know it. Now it is Super Bowl or bust. At about 7:18, we're going to get a chance to talk a little bit more about how you feel about your general manager here in Detroit.
Yeah, and again, the key is back it up. Don't compare Dion to Brad Holmes. Don't do that. Don't do that the first segment of the show.
I'm just saying, you mentioned it. You're, as a player, you could do something about it.
Yep.
Right? You could go out there and physically do something about it. As a coach, you're once removed. As a GM, you're twice removed.
Couple quick ticket texts. 248-539-9797. Jim is excited about an Iowa quarterback playing for Central. Yeah, they're not going to be very good this year. Go Broncos. Randy in White Lake. Hey, give me something. We've had a guy who can't throw a forward pass the last couple seasons. Just happy they won yesterday.
Broncos.
Go Wisconsin. They play tonight. This one says, I was watching the way coaches
That's
talk.
That's on Wisconsin.
Correct. This one says, too much Dion. What was the deal with the Almond commercials? That's weird, John in Lake Orion. This one says, I like watching the way coaches talk to their players. And I was like, there's no way that they give confidence. That program looks very unorganized right now in Boulder.
That's probably a good way to put it. It's a good observation. It does feel chaotic.
Yep.
Unorganized.
We've made a big deal about the Tigers lately. They lost yesterday. We're going to spend some time on it. It's fun while it lasted. I can't.
Oh my goodness.
They lose one.
You thought they were going to go 27 and 0, 28 and 0 yesterday?
You can keep yelling at me next. 97-1.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's fun while it lasted.
Wow. Did you put the car flag up yesterday and instantly take it down? Fun while it lasted.
It's right after Torque's eighth inning at bat.
Did you really think that they were going to go 28-0?
No, and if anything, it just puts even more pressure on this weekend series, right?
Yes. And that's really what it is. Like you can't expect them to win every single game. There are going to be losses. And now it was minimized somewhat because the Twins weren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
The Mariners weren't playing. So they lost a half a game on both. Now they are sitting three spots behind the Minnesota Twins, which is somewhat irrelevant. It's five games behind the Twins. The Mariners are right now at 4.5. The Sox at 3.5. And guess who's up next?
The Bo Sox.
Yeah.
They're
so
here.
You have an opportunity ultimately to at least get closer or to overtake somebody that's in front of you. In the end, it's about catching the Twins.
Yeah.
But you got to take care of business.
And they have the Blue Jays, who are a weird baseball team. Like they could go out and score a bajillion runs, or, I mean, they're not very good. They could just lay down. that's why, though, you got to beat the bad teams. And that's why we're looking at these Angels games and going, hey, just beat up on the bad teams as best you can.
Well, they won the series.
They won the series.
Yeah.
But every single game is going to matter.
Yeah, and at a certain point, right, just winning series isn't going to get it done. You've got to be five games better than the Twins.
Yeah, and presumably the Twins are going to have a winning record too. They're going to win more games than they lose. It's going to get real tight down the stretch here.
Mm-hmm.
How many guys left on base yesterday? You had that stat.
The 10 guys left on base, 8 in scoring position, and I was listening on the way home from football practice. Spencer Torkelson at the plate. Bases are loaded, and they bring in a big-time reliever. Guy that's going to throw some serious smoke. First pitch, foul ball. Second pitch, ball. Changeup at 95, down from 103. Ultimately, 2 strikes. I'm thinking to myself, all he's got to do is put his bat out there, right? The energy, the ball's going to do the rest. The legend of Spencer Torkelson coming back up from AAA, going to hit a game-winning grand slam. And Mighty Casey did strike out.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah. So they end up losing.
3-0.
Very dramatic right there. But, again, I didn't think that they were going to go undefeated.
But you have to take 2 or 3 this weekend, fair to say?
At a minimum, yes.
They only take one or they don't win any.
So let's start with the premise.
Then we can say it was fun while it lasted.
I know I jumped all over you about, hey, it was fun while it lasted. I know you were being a little facetious. But,
me, never.
You got to take care of business when you have to happen. And right now, 2 out of 3 is a bare minimum. Ideally, you sweep the Sox and you at least move closer. You have to take care of those teams that you are directly, because maybe the Sox, I mean, they're also competing to catch the Twins.
You know what's interesting is looking at the schedule, and we had AJ on yesterday. You know, he wants kind of the best of both worlds with Tarik Skubal. They don't want to overwork him, but they also want to win baseball games. Skubal's throwing Saturday. His next start would not be at all during that Padres series. It would be the first game against Oakland. You wonder if Skubal was throwing today, if he could be throwing the last game of the Padres series. Don't you need him more against the Padres than you do the
against
A's?
Against Oakland, yeah.
And again, they're trying to best of both worlds, but can you have it both ways? If every game matters, if you're trying to shave off a half game here, one game here, and get down within 3 of the final week, can you do both? Can you rest Skubal, maybe miss out on one start when all is said and done, miss out on 1 or 2 games you could have won? I think that's the question they're walking, yeah.
And that's why you're wondering, are they sticking to a plan they had, or are they willing to change a plan? I think they're letting it play out, John, and they're going to wait. I think they would eventually change the plan if it got to mid-September and they're 3 out.
Mm-hmm.
They do have to win 2 out of 3 this weekend. I've been pretty adamant that, I mean, that's why I thought yesterday was kind of crucial, is I felt like they need to go 5-1 on this homestand to continue to, you know, keep the momentum going in the standings, and it just, you'll look back on the end of the year maybe, and you'll say, well, you know, they lost that half game yesterday, and there'll be another one. I still think they're probably going to pull within 3 games maybe at some point, but I'll stay consistent. I've never thought they'll actually complete the entire comeback and get into a playoff position, but they're going to tease us. I think I went 2 out of 3, if they're going to keep teasing.
We got picks coming up at 6:35. First, Heather, tell us what's going on in the news.
Well, so there are still some people out there that do not have power going into Friday, the weekend. As of Thursday afternoon, about 70,000 people across the state remained offline. So hopefully today it will all be restored. And the thing is like being without power, it's a nuisance. As an adult, I could have handled it if it was just me. When you have little kids in there, it was a whole lot worse. We were without power for about 29 hours. And some DTE and consumers, energy customers are going to receive a credit, but a lot of people are not going to receive a credit for their time without power. So because more than 10% of customers lost power, the utilities have 96 hours to restore power before the credits kick in. It's based on how many people lost power. So there's a lot of people that aren't going to. It's only $38 per day. I mean, it's not.
$38
but
per
I'll
day.
Take 38
is $38 bucks per day. Yeah.
I know. I would
bucks
take
for 3 days.
In years past, power outages, the credits used to be a one-time thing, and they used to give customers $25 per incident, and you had to go and request it from your energy company. Now customers will automatically receive a $38 outage credit if they lose power for 96 hours or longer when more than 10% of the utility has an outage. Once your outage qualifies for a credit, you're just going to receive that $38 automatically. You don't have to go request it. You'll receive an additional $38 a day for each day the outage continues longer than that 96.
So it's 96 hours along with 10%
yes.
of customers?
Yes.
So what is 10% of customers?
A big number.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's
qualifiers in there that just make it like, okay, whatever.
So when I saw this, I was like, oh, you know, first I looked it up and it was different. I was looking at years past and I was like, oh, I'm going to get a credit because I was out for 29 hours. I'm like, oh, 96 hours?
Yeah.
I don't even come
close to that. If you're out for 96 hours, I don't care how many people are out. If you're out for 96 hours, you should get the credit
yes,
no matter what.
Yes. My gosh. And get ready. Now that you've cleaned up from these storms that have rolled through, one more round of thunderstorms is targeting Southeast Michigan, it's going to be a pretty nice weekend, so that's good. We're going to kind of get it out of the way today. Yeah,
oh, okay.
So meteorologists say after a rain-free but muggy Thursday, it'll be hot and humid Friday in Metro Detroit before the rain rolls in later in the day. So they say the severe weather is probably going to take place between 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. So later in the day, could produce some pretty high winds, some hail, flash flooding, perhaps a tornado warning, depending on obviously where you're located. So just be prepared. We could see a little bit more, but then it's supposed to be a decent weekend. Saturday is going to be your best day as far as the weather, the temperature. If you're going to try to get out and go to the beach one more time, plan that for Saturday. Sunday will be all right as well. Labor Day is going to feel kind of It's going to feel cool in comparison. A high of 73 on Monday.
So close to perfect.
I agree.
So
it's
close
gonna
to
feel
perfect.
So great after
Jim,
all this mugginess.
This afternoon, do you have any plans?
Later today, no.
Okay. I would suggest on the way home an extra can of propane, one more canister, just so you got a backup, and a lantern. You can pick them both up at the same place.
Perfect.
Yep. This is pretty cool. Rihanna's new store is coming to Detroit. I don't know if it's just Savage Fenty or Savage X Fenty, whatever it is. It's going to open in Detroit. They're celebrating the grand opening today at 10 a.m. There's going to be giveaways, some refreshments, a DJ. It's a whole to do. Go check it out or send your wives maybe because the store features some lingerie, sleepwear, pajamas, other apparel, things like that in a wide range of sizes as well. She's got something for everybody. So really neat. It's going to open in one of the Bedrock Detroit buildings on Woodward near John R. So
all right.
I'm excited about that. I've never worn any of her loungewear, but I like her makeup and some of the other beauty products that she sells. So I'm excited for that. If I ever make my way downtown, I'll check it out.
Take your word for it.
There you go. Heather with the news. The picks are next. They're back. It's 97.1.
All right, you guys, I have a really cool story to share with you. I was talking with Dr. Berkowitz from Michigan Hair Restoration, and he told me about this wedding that he just went to recently. He said it was a really nice wedding. It was downtown. But he said one of his patients came up to him so excited to introduce Dr. B to his fiance. And he continued on to say that his hair restoration treatment with Dr. B changed his life and that it was only because of his newfound confidence that he was able to go online and meet his fiance, which is pretty cool. And then a little while later at that exact same wedding, another one of Dr. B's patients came up to him with almost the exact same story, but they were already married. The patient was excited to introduce Dr. B to his wife, who he wouldn't have met if he didn't go to see Dr. B. It's pretty incredible. And guys, your life is waiting for you on the other side of your hair loss treatment. With a full head of hair that you can run your hands through, who knows what you'll have the confidence to do. So go to MichiganHairRestoration.com today to schedule your consult with Dr. B. That's MichiganHairRestoration.com.
Friday is here. Congrats, we made it. And we made it to the first picks of the year. Let's hit it. The season begins. A new season of the picks. Costa and Jansen with Heather, who will be making picks this fall with us. A recap. Last year, John Jansen won, as you heard, going away. Let's get after it, Greg.
We go to the old stomping grounds of Jimmy Powers, the ATL Aflac kickoff, number 14 Clemson and number 1 Georgia. Bulldogs favored by 13.5, Jim.
Georgia missed the playoff last year. They are a machine with something to prove against a husk of a program. Barry, Dabo, Sweeney, give me the Bulldogs.
John Jansen.
You know what? I just don't think Clemson is even a shell of itself. I think there's too much talent, there's too much speed, and there's too much really good coaching on the other side. So I'm going to take the Bulldogs as well. Let's go Georgia.
All right, two for the Dogs. Heather Park.
Yeah, I'm going with Georgia as well. Georgia peaches, Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber's a new dad. He's winning. Let's go.
Georgia still has their fastball. Clemson does not. Dogs.
Love it.
I'm tempted to take Clemson here, A, because I could be on an island and already go up.
Oh, with five pickers.
But I think the mission that Georgia's on just is so big. And until I'm not ready to bury Dabo, but I got to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make that pick yet. I'm going Georgia. Clean sweep.
A sweep for the Dogs. Let's go number 8. Penn State favored by 8.5 as they travel to Morgantown to take on West Virginia. John, who you got?
So it's yes. Yes, the answer is yes. Okay, so it's not a top 10 matchup, so James Franklin could win this game. Drew Lar, Singleton. This is a class that was recruited now 3 years ago that should dominate when they play a team like West Virginia. I think they do. I think they go on the road to Morgantown. This is a coming out party for this junior class now that has taken over Penn State. So give me Penn State. I think there's just too much offense for West Virginia.
Ev.
I'm going with West Virginia. They're the Mountaineers. Take me to the mountains. Let's go.
Okay.
This game would be more concerning for Penn State if it was played at night. Kickoff is at noon. I will take Penn State. Gov.
I love the points here. I think Penn State will win the game. I think it's a classic win but don't cover. Give me the Mountaineers.
Jim.
Country roads, take me home. Moonshine in the bloodstream. It's going to be a drunk one at noon. I will take points, not to win, but I will take the points.
All right, 3 for West Virginia. Number 19, Miami, takes on Florida at the Swamp. Florida, a short home dog, getting 2.5 points. Let's go to Heather Park.
I'm going with Miami. That's my pick.
Good enough for me.
You like Hurricanes, right?
I'm Mr. 305, of course.
Dale.
Florida, not the same team that they were 15 years ago, but the Swamp still is. Chomp, chomp, give me the Gators. Go.
I'm lockstep with Greg here. I know it doesn't make any sense. I just think the first game of the year, we don't know what we're getting out of Cam Ward. I love the Gators in this spot. And they seem to always win a game early in the year against the higher ranking. I know they did against Utah a few years ago. Give me the Gators.
Cookies.
I've always said Heather knows ball. It's the U, baby. This is the year.
John.
Billy Napier at Florida is under some pressure.
To say the least.
They are going to also play Texas A&M, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State.
Oh boy.
They have the toughest schedule in all of college football. They've got to steal them when they can. I'm not a big believer in Cam Ward. I do think Graham Mertz, our old friend over at Wisconsin.
Mertz.
I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's better than Cam Ward. So give me the Gators.
Notre Dame travels to the heart of Texas to take on Dan Campbell's alma mater, Texas A&M. Aggies ranked lower, but a 2.5-point home favorite. I remember these teams playing back-to-back Cotton Bowls in the 90s with national implications. New era in College Station, big environment, but Notre Dame claws out a win. Gov.
I think A&M's going to win this game, so my thought process whenever I think that and the spread's under 3, just take those points. Give me the Aggies.
Jimmy.
Night game, Kyle Field. Bunch of new faces on the O-line for Notre Dame. Yikes. That's not good. This one is free money. Texas A&M.
Is this value?
You know what? I'm right there with you because you look at that offensive line, true freshman at left tackle, and then redshirt freshman, sophomore. That's your offensive line. You're going into Texas A&M where the 12th man lives. Give me the Aggies.
Who you got, Hev?
Well, Notre Dame is the Fighting Irish. I am a wee bit Irish, so I'm going with Notre Dame. Yes. Oh.
How much is a wee
I'm
bit?
I'm a lot Irish. I don't take them.
Yeah, Tom. Yes. Come on. LSU, a 4.5-point favorite against USC in Las Vegas. Let's go to Tom Milliken.
Wow, it's hard to trust USC in this spot to do anything because no Caleb Williams, and that defense is god-awful. So until I see it, I got to believe it. What I do trust is the SEC. And so we have, what, 4 SEC teams in these picks this week?
Mm-hmm.
Clean sweep. Give me the Tigers.
Ooh.
Jim.
Quick gripe. This should be on a college campus. I hate that this is a sterile, neutral site. Put this at the Coliseum. Put this in Death Valley. Whatever. I will take LSU in this matchup. I don't trust either team, but I think you get the better coach with the Tigers, the better O-line with the Tigers. And USC, soft program until proven otherwise.
Agree on the softness of USC. It's hard to imagine that this is a Big Ten. Doug brought a good point yesterday. This is a actual Big Ten game. Not a Big Ten matchup, but a Big Ten game. And no Jaden Daniels. And so you have two new quarterbacks, but Garrett Nussmeier, their now starter, when asked to play last year, and in the bowl game, I think he threw for almost 400 yards. I trust him. I trust the speed of the SEC. So give me the Tigers.
Heather Park.
I'm going with USC, and the only reason I chose that is because Amon-Ra went there. So I'm choosing that.
That's a small pick.
It is a small pick.
You don't think they're going to come up short?
They might, but yeah. I'm still going with them anyway.
You're a wee bit Irish, and
yes,
he's a wee bit man.
Yes.
These two teams have split their only two previous matchups, and they split the 2003 National Championship. They have not played since. I'll take LSU. All right, tonight, East Lansing. Michigan State hosts FAU, Spartans favored by 13 and a hook. Jim Costa.
Started off right. The Spartans cover the big number. Jonathan Smith and the Buzz in East Lansing against the lesser team win by 2+ touchdowns. John, I'll cut the fight song for you. I don't want to be disrespectful.
Thank you. I will as well take the Michigan State Spartans. I think Jonathan Smith is going to completely...
You can't speak if it's go-go.
is going to get an identity. What they are going to do in East Lansing, I think, is going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. When you have a quarterback, even though it's a new team, and they are, but he's familiar with Jonathan Smith, the expectations, the offense, I think the Spartans are going to roll in this one.
MSU alum Heather Park.
Yeah, you can play the fight song for me. Go Green.
On the banks of the Red Cedar. Team that's known to all. Greg?
You guys know who used to coach at FAU?
Howard Snellenberger?
Not what I'm going for, but correct.
Okay.
Is that where Kwame went?
No, that's Florida A&M.
Okay.
Dusty May, U of M basketball coach. Oh. Hootie hoot, baby. Give me the Owls.
Oh,
come on.
Oh. Now, previous seasons of the picks, there would be certain games where me and Greg would align on dogs. I got to go there, Greg. I'm with you. Oh, I got to see Michigan State perform offensively.
In the woodshed?
Exactly. To cover this kind of a spread, I will take the points in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Prime time. The Big House. The Black M. The Band. The Hype Video. James Earl Jones talking about Midwestern values. Defending national champion Michigan. Feels so good to say. A 21.5-point favorite against Fresno State. Let's go to two-time Michigan football captain John Jansen.
The last time Michigan was defending a national title, they started the season 0-2. Very painful.
Wait, who was on that team?
Who was the captain of that team?
Poor leadership.
You're reading the headlines. He's sitting back after the season's always got his legs.
Yes. All we just got to do is show up. I think this is the coming out party, even though it's against Fresno State. It's an opportunity to see who the quarterback's going to be, this offensive line. A lot of guys that were waiting in the wings simply didn't play just because they were blocked by really good players. They're going to get a chance to show their wares. Give me the Wolverines. I know it's a big number. Let's go.
Heather.
Ditto.
Wait,
going with Michigan.
You're
going
to pick Michigan?
I am, yes.
I just picked Michigan State. She can pick Michigan.
I am going to pick Michigan and That's why.
Yeah. I thought you liked Bulldogs.
Fresno I do State. Like Bulldogs.
Yes.
That's, I'm still picking change? Michigan.
Yes, thank you. Hold tight. Hold tight. Don't let them talk you into anything else.
21 and a half. That half is Vegas tempting you to take Fresno State. Michigan could win by 3 touchdowns and still not cover. Michigan, they lost a lot of talent from last year. Yep. It's a trap, Michigan.
Everything he said, and I'll just put on top, the defense, this is where they come out. They hardly give up any points. I'm not going to do it, Greg. I'm not going to give a score and jinx us.
No goose egg?
No. No goose egg, but...
No goose egg.
Michigan's offense doesn't have to go crazy to cover this.
And we finish with Jim.
I'll be on an island. This will be great. I'll take Fresno State. I don't know who Michigan's quarterback is. Fresno won 9 games a year ago. They bring back 80% of their offensive production. If they can get to like 14, 17 points, Michigan's got to flirt with 40 to cover this spread. Nope. Give me the Bulldogs.
You think they're going to score 14 to 17?
They bring back 80% of their production offensively.
And Michigan's bringing back multiple NFL players on their defense.
First round picks.
Yeah, and this is the Big Ten. What are they playing?
The Fresno?
I'm going to go with the guy that went 66 and 50 last year over the professional cash of ticket host.
Yeah, who's what 7-8 when given the opportunity last year?
I'm just saying
under 500.
Watch out for your backdoor cover. Thanks, John. Those are the picks. It's 97.1. And if you want to watch these games, there's no better place to do it than the best pool in history. We just saw it firsthand. It's Stadium Swim. It's located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can catch all the games at a viewing experience that's built for sports fans. It's a sports fan's paradise. I know the afternoon show is going to be out there a couple weeks ago. We were just there. We were hanging out in that sports book. We walked over. You could see Stadium Swim with the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. It's 6 different pools on 3 different levels. America's favorite place to watch football with the swim up bars, the Insta ready selfie walls, and the nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot. They've got the cozy day beds, private cabanas, lounge at the center of the action. Find your spot, reserve your place today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, circalasvegas.com. Brad Holmes said it. We love it. We're going to talk about it in the 7 o'clock hour. Embrace it. John, Michigan State, get it underway this weekend. Let's open up the phone lines. Let's talk expectations one final time. Where are you at with either of these teams? 248-539-9797. What is success and what is failure for the Spartans and the Wolverines?
Let's start with Michigan State. Because I think there's even though there's a lot of unknown with Michigan, it's more about the positions, the quarterback position. But we know at Michigan State it's Aiden Childs. We don't know what it's like in East Lansing. We don't know what it's like with this group of players. But we saw it at Oregon State, and it's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Smith, with what he was able to do at Oregon State, being able to recruit not the top-end talent, but really good talent. 3-star, every once in a while you get some 4-stars. But the development that he had with those players to be able to play above their star ranking. I'm excited. I don't know. I think this year, you look at the first 3 games, at Maryland is one that kind of jumps out. And no Tagovailoa,
mm-hmm.
No Jayshon Barham on defense, who was a game maker for them. I'm not really sure what to make of Maryland and that matchup. But then you look, there's a 4-game stretch that Michigan State has. It's Ohio State at Oregon, Iowa at Michigan. That's really the only concerns I have about Michigan State in this one. The unknown is the at Maryland. So I'm looking at it going, okay, if I think that they questionable for 5, I think they win 7. And depending on how that Maryland game goes, I think they could be an 8-win team.
7-8 wins.
Yeah.
What's failure? Not making a bowl?
Yes, not making a bowl in year 1. So, I mean, all you got to do is be 500, 6-6. I think they certainly make a bowl. They should make a bowl. FAU, Prairie View, Indiana. And now, Illinois played pretty good last night. But Purdue, Rutgers, those should all be wins for Indiana. I mean, so sorry, for Michigan State.
Yeah. So I look at their schedule and it's like three seasons in one.
Right.
There's the
I forgot Boston College.
Yeah, the non-con, which includes Boston College, Prairie View, Florida Atlantic, and then Maryland is in the early portion of the season. Can you go 3-1 in that stretch out of the gate, feel good about your quarterback? Because
yes,
you're going to need to bank some wins early. The second season, the middle of the season, it's as brutal as anybody's schedule not named Florida.
Yeah.
You talked about Florida's schedule. Michigan State at the end of September will host Ohio State. Then they'll go to Oregon. They get Iowa at Michigan, and then they're into Halloween, and you go, catch your breath. I don't know that they win any game in that stretch. And then it's a gut check for your coach. Have you banked wins? Have you built a culture? Have you kept guys from looking into the transfer portal? At the end of the season, Indiana, Illinois, Purdue, Rutgers. Can you win three of those games? Get to your six. Get to your bowl game. That's what I think is six wins for year one. If they fail to make a bowl game, you're behind the eight ball. And we know college football is moving fast like a freight train. Are you going to have issues building if you don't get to that bowl game?
Yeah,
I think 25 is a big year for Michigan State, because then you got Childs a year under his belt, Smith a year to get to the portal, recruits, develop, strength program, all that. But you need to set the foundation in 2024, and I think six wins is the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
For Michigan, what is it?
I think it's 10-2 is where I think they're at, because if you're going to be a playoff team, you can't lose to Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State. 9-3, even though I know I've talked about the whole, you know, power of the Big Ten, and they might, and it's big, you know, air quotes, might get in at 9-3. I do think they can be 10-2. Anything under 9 wins is an absolute failure.
You would put yourself at the mercy of the committee if you're a 9-3 team, especially, yes, if you don't have any marquee wins, of being left out by a 10-2 squad that played in their conference title game.
But even further, okay, let's just say, let's play this game. If they're a 9-3 team, but they do beat Texas. Okay, so you've got a marquee win.
That's different.
It's,
yeah,
different, but then who else do you lose to?
Yeah, who did you stumble against?
Right, did you stumble at Illinois, or
yikes,
maybe it's the rivalry game against Michigan State, Indiana, Northwestern? Like, that, there's no game in there, or possibly if you beat Texas but lose to USC, and we're all wrong about, you know, USC and their defense, their offensive line, replacing the quarterback. Like, that could be a possibility. But if you're 9-3, I don't think, with this schedule, you don't have a marquee win. How do you get in?
And I think missing the playoffs would be a failure for Michigan football. You're the reigning national champs. I'm not saying you got to go 15-0 again. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's reasonable. They lost a ton. But I do think when you promote from within, you're kind of counting on some continuity.
Yeah.
You're kind of counting on, hey, we got some dudes in this locker room that haven't played, that are developing. They're going to have the same kind of preparation. There shouldn't be some big drop-off.
That's why I think they're 10-2.
I think 10-2 is a success. I do think they're going to fall short. I think they're going to be 9-3. And I think they'll be outside the playoff.
Okay. It'll be interesting, because there is, I mean, a brand new offensive line, even though, you know, you've got Josh Preeb, who's come over, who's got starting experience.
They love him from Northwestern.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What still needs to be decided, along with the quarterback, right? That's the biggest question mark.
Huge question mark.
But is it going to be Greg Crippen at center? Dom Jadis is a guy that has, you know, made the switch from defensive line to offensive line. Sounds like he might get the nod at center. Evan Link at right tackle. It sounds like he might be. That's going to be a guy that doesn't have experience, just like Jadis. So you're going to have guys that have to get up to speed really quickly against Fresno State, because it can look good on the practice field. You can have a lot of confidence on the practice field, but as I call it, the pucker factor, as soon as you run down the tunnel at the Big House, you know, what's the pucker factor on each individual? And that's hard to gauge.
We're going to learn a lot, not necessarily this weekend with Michigan. We're going to learn a lot the following weekend.
Oh, you'll learn much more. I mean, when the opponents are better, you're going to learn a lot more, but you will get an idea of, okay, you're in the Big House. It's a primetime game. You have to sit around all day long, and it is people, you know, and the kids can say, oh yeah, we're, you know, this is a brand new year. We're focused on this game. There is pressure, and there are a lot of eyeballs, not just in terms of coaching change, quarterback change, offensive line change. There's a lot of eyeballs simply because you are defending national champs.
Yeah, and I think with Texas, I mean, that one sets the tone early. We've had all these seasons where you could go, has Michigan played a good team and it's October? Like, have they been challenged by a good quarterback and it's November, right? And that won't be the case this season. They're going to face Texas week two. Quinn Ewers, you've talked about him. That's a first-round guy in the NFL. That's a guy who's going to get some Heisman buzz this season. And they're going to protect him up front. It's going to be a great matchup in the trenches. Texas O-line, Michigan defensive line right away. And you'll see, Michigan's defense, I think, will be very, very good. But that will be a test early to see, are they great or are they just very good? Right. And they're going to need to be great, I think, because of all the turnover on the offensive side of the ball. If the defense is very good, but you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a downfield passing game, the O-line's not all in, you know, on the same page early in the season, you lose to Texas, you lose to Oregon, you go to Columbus this season. That's a 9-3 football team.
And you also have a new defense coordinator. Now, Wink has got as much experience as anybody, and it is a similar defense to the one that was installed by Mike McDonald 3 years ago, continued by Jesse Minter, but there is going to be change in terminology. There's going to be a change in Wink being able to make the transition from the NFL game to the college game. There are nuances. One of the things that may give him a bit of an advantage early on is the green dot, which we all know why they have the green dot this year. It's because of Michigan. But
it was long overdue regardless, but yes.
Yeah, but he's very familiar with working with that system. Who's going to wear the green dot? Making sure that all of those communication things that should be easier, that they actually are.
Your expectations. What's a success? Define failure. Michigan and Michigan State season gets underway tonight and this weekend. Brad Holmes, he said it. We love it. We'll play it. It's next, 97.1.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.